So if you've seen a billboard, yeah, billboards have impact in the advertising world, right? But isn't it great to sort of stumble on something, to discover it all your own, to find that, wow, what's happening here? Am I the only one that knows this? It seems almost 10 years, almost impossible to imagine that 10 years ago, people discovered this.
I just want to apologize to Mike's mom and Josh's mom and my mom. I am so sorry, because it is my fault, because it was my project. I am so scared.
10 years ago, people discovered the Blair Witch Project. Was it a documentary? Was it an ad campaign? Was it a movie? Well, it made millions, and people's discovery of it really spawned the idea of viral campaigns to create a sensation for things that might normally have been just sort of introduced in television commercials that sound like this.
I don't want them living in my neighborhood.
They're just so unnatural.
Should we just let them go and do whatever they want? Absolutely not.
They make me scared.
Say no to the Vampire Rights Amendment.
How did you vote on the Vampire Rights Amendment? Oh, you don't know what I'm talking about? Well, if you are a fan of the HBO series True Blood, you may have stumbled on True Blood through one of these ads. They were created by a Campfire group, the Campfire Ad Agency. Managing partner of that agency is here in the studio with me, Steve Wax. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Also here is Brian Morrissey, a digital editor for Adweek magazine. Both of you in the studio. Amy, I kind of feel like I'm in an episode of Mad Men here, you know? You guys, let's talk about viral ads and viral campaigns. And, you know, with all the talk about twittering out of Iran and that sort of thing, social networking has been a real opportunity for ad agencies, but there are successes and failures. Both are interesting. Explain what True Blood was all about and how you began by marketing a drink that was blood and resulting in a series on HBO that really became a hit.
Yeah, actually, it was an artificial blood. And the idea was that since there was this artificial blood that arrived from Japan, vampires could come out now. They no longer needed to feed on you and me. Excuse me. So basically, we sent blood out. I actually brought some for you. We sent
Thanks.
Blood out in little tubes to well-known bloggers who then, without any kind of identification, they began talking about it.
Now, Blair Witch, of course, 10 years ago, and some of the people that you work with are actually involved with that, was a kind of an accidental discovery that people love something that feels underground and a discovery all their own. You attempted to marshal this in the True Blood campaign. What's going on when you attempt to set a group of bloggers, some would say just weirdos, to work to spread the word of mouth of something like a television series?
Well, basically, actually going back to Blair Witch, it started with 100 fans. And over a year, my partners built that into millions and by creating a culture that was bigger than the movie. So we try and do that with ad campaigns, or our marketing campaign. So with True Blood, we created this idea that vampires live among us, and we asked ourselves, what would happen if vampires lived among us?
And, of course, it's not really just silliness, Brian Morrissey, a digital editor for Adweek magazine. I mean, advertising agencies are shifting increasingly into this space where they're trying to set in motion a kind of sustainable chain of 100 fans become a million fans. It's almost as though the narrative, the script of the movie extends to the fans themselves. They're in the movie by being a part of the campaign.
Yeah, that's exactly what advertisers are looking for. I mean, word of mouth has always been the most powerful way people find information. And with viral marketing, basically what advertisers are trying to do is infect social networks and then have that replicate for them. And so this is the best of both worlds for them, because they think, well, if a friend passes it to you, you're more likely to, you know, actually take action on it and to view it. And that's the real opportunity that they're trying to get to. I mean, I think the big problem is, for every success, there's probably 25 failures.
Right. Well, people at conferences all over the world talk about the future of everything is social media and, you know, viral campaigns and twittering, et cetera. Is this hyperbole, or is it really going in this direction, Steve?
There's a revolution going on. And we were talking earlier, it's a little bit like a virus where we're told we're in the middle of an epidemic, but we don't notice it because it takes place over a couple of years. But people are being fired from ad agencies because they can't do this stuff. The agencies are trying to rapidly change. There's a lot of money changing hands.
Is this different than faux news? This is from a Burger King campaign called Whopper Virgins. Take a listen to this here.
Now, we all know that vampires don't eat, which poses somewhat of an awkward situation for humans who want to eat with them.
Exactly. No, I have a few friends that are vampires, and I'm sitting there through an appetizer, an entree, dessert, and they're just kind of nursing a True Blood. It's a little awkward. Mm-hmm. So you know, I've come up with this sort of way to get your meal and a drink.
Now, that, of course, is part of your True Blood campaign. That's a faux sort of news interview. Let's listen to the faux campaign here that Burger King did with Whopper Virgins.
What happens if you take remote Chiang Mai villagers who've never seen a burger, who don't even have a word for burger, and ask them to compare Whopper versus Big Mac in the world's purest taste test? The Whopper is America's favorite. But what will these people choose? The Whopper virgins will decide.
So, Brian Morrissey, what is the difference between just snarky faux news programming or faux documentary programming and something that really develops this culture, this dynamic culture that Steve was talking about?
Well, I think it's like a blurry line because at the end of the day, advertisers are going to have to, you know, push the envelope with like Whopper Virgins in order to get people to talk about that. What they want to talk about. And so they're going to end up having to be controversial to some degree. And sometimes, you know, there's this, it goes into like stealth marketing. And there's a possibility that instead of playing with consumers, that they're going to end up fooling them.
And does that make them mad?
Yeah, actually, one of the things that's electric is the blurry line. So the more you can sort of edge into ethical questions, the more people are going to debate and talk about it.
You love that.
So Steve, yeah. I have a question, and I have to confess, I'm a huge fan of True Blood. I think it's a great series.
It has a great following among women, just so you know. That's the biggest audience.
So, but the question still remains. A viral campaign, it still needs to make an emotional connection. True, so at the end of the day, the product still needs to be appealing.
And you got 20 seconds, Stevie.
No, that's not true. actually, you need to just capture people's attention, and if you can strategically put a brand at the center of the story, that's great. That's the most important thing.
But it is extending the narrative out way beyond simply the script and involving the actual sort of fans themselves in the storyline. Steve Wax is managing partner at Campfire Ad Agency, responsible for the True Blood campaign, which led to the HBO hit, and Brian Morrissey is digital editor for Ad Week magazine. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
And virally speaking, you can go to mytakeatthetakeaway.org and get our Twitter feed and find out about all the subcultures that are created by this program. You can also call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You are
Amy Holmes,
fan of True Blood, and I am John Huckenberry. This is The Takeaway.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.